Well, happy High Sabbath, brethren and sisters. So glad to see you all. And we're safely through another week. What a blessing it is to be with you all. And, amen, celebrating the Lord's life and what he has done for us and its relation to what he is doing for us. May his blessing be upon each and every one of us as we keep looking up. I'd like to actually share a small story with you before we start with our opening song. An American physicist once said, Richard Feynman, if you can't say it simply, you don't really understand it. It would seem that the Apostle Paul, whom we'll be quoting a little bit today, writing to the Ephesians, also understood this principle. He presents gospel truths in simple to understand words, who said, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might shew the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Ephesians 2 verses 4 to 10. We're also told in the same book, chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. End of quote. May the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Numbers 6:24-26. May this blessing be yours this Sabbath in a very special way. And chosen for today's opening song, one I think we all know. And I think I even have dear brother Bob's PowerPoint on it, which is great. You can see it all at once. Now, Luce, you'll have to look at the TV so you can actually read it, although that's not very big either. Oh dear, it's kind of small. Okay. Shall we start off, Luce? And for those who know the song, would like to, or maybe you'd like to know it, learn it, sing along and sing if you feel free to join in audio as well. I will follow thee, my Savior, wheresoe'er my lot may be. Where thou goest, I will follow. Yes, my Lord, I'll follow thee. I will follow thee, my Savior. Thou didst shed thy blood for me. And though all men should forsake thee, by thy grace I'll follow thee.
Though the road be rough and thorny, trackless as the foaming sea, thou hast trod this way before me, and I'll gladly follow thee. I will follow thee, my Savior. Thou didst shed thy blood for me. And though all men should forsake thee, by thy grace I'll follow thee.
Though I meet with tribulation, sorely tempted though I be, I remember thou wast tempted and rejoice to follow thee. I will follow thee, my Savior, thou didst shed thy blood for me. And though all men should forsake thee, by thy grace I'll follow thee.
Though through great and fierce affliction, poor forsaken though I be, though as destitute afflicted, and I only follow thee, I will follow thee, my Savior, thou didst shed thy blood for me, and though all should forsake thee, by thy grace I follow thee. Though to Jordan's rolling billows, full and deep thou leadest me, thou hast crossed the ways before me, and I still will follow thee. I will follow thee, my Savior, thou didst shed thy blood for me, and though all should forsake thee, by thy grace I follow thee.
Amen and amen. And that's what we're doing today, by faith. We're following our Lord's footsteps into the foot washing and the communion that has replaced the Passover supper. And I'm looking forward to that, joining with you all. And thank you for coming. And those who might be listening to the recording in the future, glad you could listen. Well, why don't we have a word of prayer before we begin? And would a brother or sister like to offer that for us? Please feel free and thank you.
Dear Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for this week. We thank you, Lord, for the Sabbath rest in which we can gather together to worship you and recognize you as our Savior and as our eternal Father. We ask you, dear Lord, your blessing in this night, in this service, and your blessing, God, because today we're taking the supper and we're celebrating this moment too. Thank you, Savior, for your sacrifice. We ask you, Lord, to bless our lives and to keep alive our faith in your salvation. be with us, be with each one of us in this service, and all of that we ask in the name that is upon all names, in the Jesus name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, dear sis. Appreciate it. Foot washing and communion. So. Can everyone see it okay on the screen? Okay. All right. The Gray family. The thumbs up. Thank you. Yes, yes, yes. All right. Wonderful. Well, that's an added blessing. What are we looking at here? The laver and feet washing. Washing, and this is a quote from the book, The Path to the Throne of God by Sarah Peck, a worker with LNG1. The laver and feet washing. Washing at the laver in the Mosaic dispensation corresponds in the Christian dispensation not only to the ordinance of baptism, but to the ordinance of feet washing as instituted by Christ in John chapter 13. Verses 12 to 13. This Christian service is as sacred as was that of olden time. As failure of a priest to wash before entering upon any service for the Lord meant death, see Exodus chapter 30 verses 20 to 21, so to Peter's refusal to let Christ wash his feet, Jesus said, "If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me." John chapter 13, verse 8. A quote from the Desire of Ages, page 646. The service that Peter refused was the type of a higher cleansing. Christ had come to wash the heart from the stain of sin. Refusing to allow Christ to wash his feet, Peter was refusing the higher cleansing included in the lower. End of quote. The failure of a priest to wash was as really rejecting the Lord as was Peter's refusal. And the penalty in both cases was the same, separation and death. With what reverence and humility should you and I, should we participate in the sacred ordinances that point back to the sacrifice made for us on Calvary and symbolized at the altar and at the laver. This Christian ordinance of feet washing provides for continual cleansing. Jesus said to Peter, "He that is washed, bathed, laved, or baptized, needeth not save to wash his feet," John chapter 13, verse 10. When defilement is contracted in our daily walk, we come again and again in this sacred ordinance, where we renew our baptismal vows and receive renewed forgiveness. Then the righteousness of Christ is once more imputed to us, and by faith in him we are justified. By faith in him we are sanctified through the impartation of Christ's righteousness. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. 1 John chapter 5, verse 6. Blood refers to the altar of sacrifice, water to the laver of baptism slash cleansing. John, who was an eyewitness of the death of Christ, declares that when one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, forthwith came there out blood and water. John chapter 19, verse 34. You might recall that famous statement in that song. Let the water and the blood from thy riven side, which flowed, be of sin the double cure, save me from its guilt and power, Rock of Ages. This Christian ordinance of feet washing provides for continual cleansing. When defilement is contracted in our daily walk, we come again and again to the laver in this sacred ordinance, where we renew our baptismal vows and go forth for more efficient service. Jesus said, he that is washed, beloved or baptized, another way of looking at it, needeth not save to wash his feet. John chapter 13 and verse 10. As in the court of the earthly sanctuary, all the washing and cleansing were done before the sacrifices were slain and the blood taken into the sanctuary. So all our cleansing must be done here, earth equaling court, and now, because in heaven there will be no cleansing symbolized by baptism and feet washing. If we are not thus cleansed, we are not prepared to enter the holy place for sanctification. And she's talking about the earthly sanctuary, and of course our relation to the heavenly. We have an altar of sacrifice where Jesus died for all, and by it he became a living laver. That's like the image that we started with. A fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. Zechariah chapter 13 verse 1. So that we may be cleansed and prepared to pass into the very presence of God. Thus, Jesus is the antitype both of the altar of burnt offering and the laver for cleansing. That's a quote within a quote, R.S. Owen in Review and Herald, March 26, 1925. And that's a quote from Path to the Throne of God, pages 44 to 45, all of what was just shared. So in looking to the event, let's go to the foot washing account, which is only recorded in John chapter 13. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him, therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. That's big with meaning, the word if. John chapter 13, verses 1 to 17. So before we go for washing, we'll have a word of prayer. And because my music, it works, but the sound's not coming across loud, perhaps we'll have a solemn silence. But if you'd all prefer something else, perhaps someone else might like to arrange songs to listen to while we pass the time. But let's have a word of prayer first. Father in heaven, thank you for the enormous privilege of knowing the truth about the blessing we're told three times in these verses about those by Jesus' own lips who follow through with the example that he has given us that will follow with blessing in doing so. We uphold dear souls that miss out on this. Perhaps they just have the other portion, which we'll partake of later, but don't have this preparation leading into it. And they've got a lot of experience, perhaps every week, perhaps even more than every week, but they miss out on the actual preparation for partaking of the symbols that represent Christ's broken body and spilled blood on behalf of us. We pray they might be reached out, the process of ourselves being an example and a witness to these events, that these are the privilege of all Christians to follow. And thank you for the promise, Jesus, for happy are they to do them, if we do it. And we're asking for your Holy Spirit to take part in this solemn ceremony, which allows us to enter into your service more efficiently and effectively, and that our heart being open to you, you would help us share everything we need to with our brother or our sister in relation to this service, that would clear away any misunderstanding, any lack of Christ being seen in us or heard in us, so that we can come away indeed for more efficient service and indeed be in a prepared state to partake of communion. Thank you for being here with us all. Thank you for making this possible. May thy presence solemnly take hold of our hearts. Holy Spirit, take the throne of our heart, that your will be done. In Jesus we ask. Amen.
Amen.
Well, we will meet, so Lord willing, about 15 minutes, and we'll come back and we'll continue from there. God bless you, and we'll see you soon. I can't hear anything, dear sis. Perhaps you could try it at the end, perhaps at the end of the sermon, perhaps, if it's
Sabe,
oh, look at some voice.
I forgot, in order for me to do that, I have to set up through when you're gonna display any project. There's a section that you have to touch where it says play sound, but it's when I can share the screen. I'll try to see it later. Okay. Sorry, guys.
I should have first asked, has everyone finished? Because if they haven't, we probably will want the music rolling. And okay, thanks for the heads up, sis. I'll stop share. All done. Is anyone, the other question, is anyone not done? I think that's a sign to press on. I'd love to hear that song. We'll get you putting it on when we come to the end. Well, let's move on. If the computer will let me. Yes. Christ, the bread of life. The bread on the table of showbread, said shewbread in the KJV, symbolized Jesus, the bread of life, John 6:35. Here's the bread that came down from heaven, the word of God, John 6:32-33, 38, 63, and 1:1. The bread and the wine that were on the table of showbread, Exodus 25:29-30, 37:10-16, Leviticus 24:5-9, and Numbers 4:7, suggest the Lord's communion table. And let it be noted that this immediately followed the ordinance of feet washing prefigured at the laver, which was in the outer court. After we are laved, as we partake of the bread and the wine of communion, do we not thus renew our covenant with Jesus to feed daily on the bread of life and to drink daily from the fountain of life? John 6:53-56. In these symbols, do we discern his broken body and his spilled blood? And are we willing to continue to partake of his sufferings, which they represent? Let us weigh this well, lest we partake unworthily. 1 Corinthians 11:27-29. A spiritual understanding of the sanctuary will help us to discern the Lord's body. That's all a quote from The Path to the Throne of God, page 143. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, the living law of love, said in remembrance of me. God's law, a law of love. A certain lawyer, a Pharisee, designing to catch Christ in his words, once asked him, saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus answered, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. End of quote. Matthew 22:35-40. At this the lawyer was silenced and durst not ask him any more questions. God is love, and his love is embodied in the one word, love. The first and great commandment of this law of supreme love to God is expressed in the first four commandments on the first table of the the law. And the second, alike, love to thy neighbor, is expressed in the last six on the second table. As a result of sin, it was drawn out into 10 commandments. What is meant by that? This is a quote from the same book. As a result of sin, it was drawn out into 10 commandments. Worded to quote Spirit of Prophecy, worded to meet the case of fallen intelligences in consequence of the minds of men being blinded by transgression. Signs of the Times, April 15, 1875. It was added because of transgressions, Galatians 3:19. How is God's law preserved and taught? Now, as we think of Jesus as the law of love fulfilled in his life and what he wants to fulfill in us, here's a quote from the Spirit of Prophecy. The antediluvians had no written records, but with their great physical and mental vigor, they had strong memories, able to grasp and retain that which was committed to them, and in turn to transmit it unimpaired to their posterity. Patriarchs and Prophets, page 83. In this way, through many generations, covering nearly 1,000 years, Adam taught his descendants the law of God, the law of love. It was preserved, quote, was preserved by Noah, who taught his descendants the Ten Commandments. When the Lord brought Israel forth from Egypt, he came down upon Sinai, and in awful majesty spoke his law in the hearing of all his people. Then, for the benefit of future generations, he engraved it in tables of stone, that it might never be forgotten. Patriarchs and Prophets, pages 363 to 364. At that time, it was enshrined in the Ark, the foundation of the mercy seat, a symbol of God's throne on which were two golden cherubim representing the two most exalted angels of heaven, who are honored guards of his throne and his law. Later, this law of love was more fully made known through his dealings with man, as recorded in the complete Bible. In fact, the Decalogue has been called, quote, an abridged edition of the Bible, end of quote, because it expresses the whole duty of man, Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. His law, eternal and universal. In the eternity of the past, before this world was created, God's law of supreme love was written not in stone, but in the hearts of unfallen beings. Until sin entered the universe, these unfallen beings had no sense of the restrictions of law, for God's law is a law of liberty. James chapter 2, verse 12. Those who obey law have perfect freedom and are unconscious of its existence. Against such, there is no law, declares Paul, Galatians chapter 5, verse 23. Only when one disobeys law does he realize its authority. So, when Satan rebelled, and this is a quote from Thoughts from the Mount of Blessings, page 161. So, when Satan rebelled against the law of Jehovah, the thought that there was a law came to the angels almost as an awakening to something unthought of. End of quote. When they discovered that sin, the transgression of the law, 1 John 3:4 means death, they began to realize how terrible is transgression. And how unchangeable is God's law. The two great commandments of love, on which hang all the law and the prophets, the same law that existed in the eternity of the past and was written in the hearts of unfallen beings will continue to exist as the fundamental law of God's entire universe in the eternity to come. This is the law of which Christ said, I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart. Psalm chapter 40, verse 8. And of the redeemed, God says, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts. Jeremiah 31, verse 33. Paul says that even now are we to be the epistles of Christ, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshy tables of the heart. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 3. From this, is it not clear that as in the eternity of the past, so in the eternity to come, the Ten Commandments in their entirety, embosomed in God's treasure chest, his jewel casket, is the law for God's entire universe? Eternal and universal, his law for all his created intelligences throughout all ages? God's law perfect. Of God's law, and we're going through this because of the closeness of the relationship the law of love has with our Lord, Jesus Christ. God's law perfect. Of God's law, Paul says it is holy and just and good. Romans 7 verse 12. It is the transcript of the character of him who made it. David declares, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. Psalm chapter 19, verses 7 to 9. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honey comb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Psalm 19, verses 9 to 11. This inspired commentary on the law of the infinite Jehovah should forever settle its immutability in the mind of finite man. Commentary being David in the Psalm. God's law unchangeable. Whatever God does is perfect and therefore cannot be changed. To change that which is perfect would make it imperfect. An able writer has convincingly shown that the law of God is unchangeable. He says, consider the glory and majesty attending the broadcast of that law from the flaming mountain top. A vast retinue of holy angels was present. Moons of men and women stood at attention. Lightnings flashed, the earth trembled, and amid this signal display of infinite power, the divine lawgiver announced the precepts that embrace the whole duty of man. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. If that law were to be changed, would a faithful or wise God alter or annul it in less impressive and conspicuous manner than when proclaimed from Sinai? Would it be done so secretly and inconspicuously that the church would be left in ignorance and uncertainty? If Christ designed to substitute Sunday for the Sabbath, would he do it so unannounced that even the chosen apostles would not hear of it until many years later? 1,000 times, no. That's Roy R. Cottrell in Our Times, December 1947. Another noted writer puts it this way, and do you think any being can change that law? Not till he can break through the bodyguard of angels into the inner temple, dethrone Jehovah, wrench from its position the world's mercy seat of pardon and salvation, and with his would-be omnipotent finger, mutilate the records of the imperishable tables. Uriah Smith in Looking Unto Jesus, page 321. The law of God, being a revelation of his will, a transcript of his character, must forever endure as a faithful witness in heaven. Great Controversy, page 434. And all that was quoted previous, Path to the Throne of God, pages 140 to 141. And that brings us to the unleavened bread, ready to break and ready to eat, but don't partake of yet. And I think I've got to get it as well. I'll just go and I'll be right back and we'll go a little bit further. We'll be quoting from Paul in 1 Corinthians 11. Okay. So we have Paul, he's given to us what was given to him, to quote it, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. But the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 to 24. So let us have a word of prayer before we do likewise and partake. Father in heaven, thank you for the high privilege to lead today in another foot washing communion. It's a real privilege as I'm reading this material. It's preaching to me. Your words preach to every one of us. We start reading it and the Bible then starts reading us. The spirit of prophecy reads us, ends up reading us. And I pray that this process won't stop, that we will continue to allow it reading us, and we will live out the convictions that your Holy Spirit sends our way. Thank you for letting us clear the highway of any rubbish and selfishness and impatience, that anything that has marred our record, and to get right with you, with brothers and sisters, and have that peace that was promised in partaking of such an ordinance ordained by Jesus and blessed by his words. Thank you, Jesus, for being, I mean, I can only, it's amazing what, how easy it would have been for you to come. You lived a sinless life, and many people would say, well, they had a different religion before Christ came, and yet they had to have faith that the atonement mean you, it was a sinless being that was going to make the atonement. They have the same faith we had. We have today, and the same that Adam and Eve had. And I thank you for not coming down from the cross when you were tempted by the wicked leaders, and how easy it would have been for you to do that. But your love was stronger than death, and thank you, Father, it would have been so difficult for you not to intervene. I can only imagine when you could have intervened. But for our sakes, you didn't intervene, that the punishment and the penalty might be paid for our debt of sin, that we might have pardon and a life that measures with the life of God imputed and imparted to our record and to our life experience. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for making this possible. And as we partake of this, stay with us and continue to lead our thoughts and our hearts into the direction that is sanctification through the truth, as it is in Jesus. In Jesus we ask and pray. Amen.
Amen.
And so now, let's all partake in faith of the symbol of our Lord's broken body for us. Is anyone not finished? Okay, let's continue then. So let's have our unfermented grape juice ready to drink. Oh, taste and see the Lord is good. So in continuing in 1 Corinthians, after the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do shew the Lord's death till he come. 1 Corinthians 11, verses 25 to 26. And, whoops, let's go backwards. That'd be better than darkness showing. Let's have a word of prayer before we partake. Precious Father in heaven, thank you for making it plain to us what the wages of sin is and what the gift of God is and how abrogating your law or changing it undoes your perfection, undoes your throne, and shows you to be imperfect. Thank you for showing this close relation between yourself, the law of love, and the Ten Commandments, and especially with the testimonies of the Spirit of God. Thank you for allowing us to see something of what it cost for our salvation, and Jesus showing us and allowing us to have records of what actually took place on our behalf from the very first of your first, oh, even in the womb and beyond to the very cross and your last breath of your infinite love for each and every one of us. I ask you to help us by thy Holy Spirit to have a greater love for the brethren and sisters in the faith and those that are not of our faith, that we might be contributing to the escape plan for those stuck in Babylon and those who are of a different background altogether again. Thank you for the imputation of wisdom to meet the occasions of the hour in which we're living. Thank you for the privilege of allowing us in this cleansing and this partaking that we're symbolically doing, that we may do it literally and continue in efficient service for building up your kingdom with love and not the tools that the devil uses. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for making it possible for us to overcome evil with good. Bless us now as we partake in faith of Jesus' spilled blood for us. In Christ Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And let us partake together. And amen. Anyone that's not finished? Okay, well, why don't we have Sister Rose put on that interesting sounding song before we have that classic, Lift Up the Trumpet. So would you like to do that for us now, sis? The song that you mentioned earlier, I'll stop share.
Sabbath blessing, everyone. I think in order for me to do it, I'm going to have to go into the area where we share screen that I can touch the button that's supposed to share sound so like that it doesn't pick up my own reception, which is not really good. So let me see if I can do it. I'm really not sharing the screen. I just want to go into the features. Let me see if I can.
You still can't hear us? Nothing?
Master and Lord, and ye say well. He called me Master and Lord.
so hard to wash one another's feet. He called me Master Lord, and he said, well. He called me Master and Lord, and he said, well, that's all I am. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done unto you. He called me Master and Lord, and he said, well. He called me Master and Lord, and he said, well, that's all I am. The servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. He called me Master and Lord, and he said, well. He called me Master and Lord, and he said, well, that's all I am. That's all I am.
Amen. What a powerful song. And thank you, since now you've shown me how I can do it. Just do it and share. What a good idea. Praise the Lord for the future. Thank you. What a powerful song that is. So, as you all know, the disciples went out and sung a hymn. So, let's lift up the trumpet and loudly proclaim. Okay, to see if I can find it. That would be preferable. No, it's not that one. It's not that one. Ah, okay, gotcha. All right, lift up the trumpet. Just make it so you can see. A bit better. Can you see it, Luz?
Yes.
All right. Let's sing with joy in our hearts. Lift up the trumpet and loud let it ring. Jesus is coming again. Cheer up, ye pilgrims, be joyful and sing. Jesus is coming again, coming again, coming again. Jesus is coming again.
Echo it, hilltops, proclaim it, ye plains, Jesus is coming again. Coming in glory, the Lamb that was slain.
Echo it, hilltops, proclaim it, ye plains, Jesus is coming again. Coming in glory, the Lamb that was slain, Jesus is coming again. Coming again, coming again, Jesus is coming again.
Sounded old ocean in each mighty wave, Jesus is coming again. break on the sands of the shores that ye lave. Jesus is coming again, coming again, coming again. Jesus is coming again.
Sounded, old ocean, in each mighty wave, Jesus is coming again. Break on the sands of the shores that ye lay. Jesus is coming again. Coming again. Coming again. Jesus is coming again. Heavings of earth tell the vast wandering throng, Jesus is coming again. Tempests and whirlwinds the anthem prolong, Jesus is coming again. Coming again, coming again. Jesus is coming again. Nations are angry, by this we do know, Jesus is coming again. Knowledge increases, men run to and fro, Jesus is coming again. Coming again, coming again. Jesus is coming again.
Glorious angel is lighting the world. Jesus is coming again.
Glorious angel is lighting the world. Jesus is coming again. God's Sabbath rest is the banner unfurled. Jesus is coming again. Coming again. Coming again. Jesus is coming again. Amen. Powerful song. Well, thank you for, well, that of course brings us to the end of the communion and foot washing, and open it up to testimony time and anything else anyone would like to share or any requests, please feel free. Thank you, Brother Dick. No, we thought no one was singing. We could not hear a word. That's why we were saying, I'm so sorry. We were singing over people. I don't know what's going on. Not sure why that's happening. We're so sorry. It was just all blank. We saw it. Lisa said, oh, Maybe they don't. Someone must know this. I said all of them know this. Okay, you can hear me okay?
Yes, yes, we heard you. Apparently you weren't hearing us.
Yeah, I can't hear you. Oh, I'm so sorry. I did not realize. We've got a problem and I'll go out of the room. I don't know what's going on. So sorry. We really couldn't hear a word. We thought it was a bit odd.
I know James could hear us earlier because he and I had a conversation before this program began, but I realized that he wasn't hearing us when he started doubling with us.
Hello, can anyone hear us and can we hear you?
We can hear you. We can hear you. Are you not hearing us?
I suspect Brother Dick is talking. Yeah, it is unmuted, bro. And the green's going up and down. I don't know what's going on. Can someone else talk? I couldn't get Brother Dick. Can someone else talk?
Testing, testing. 1, 2, 3. Nothing.
Guess what? He gets to sing the closing song.
Unfortunately, I can't hear either of you. Okay. What is going on? You know, I said to Lucy, you can hear me. I can't hear you, but I said to her last night, there are things that are strange that go on. And you don't know why, but what's important is to not get upset. You can be disappointed and sad, but don't lose your temper. Keep looking up. There's a good reason down the road. But we definitely can't hear you. We've got our volume up all the way. And what a blessing you can hear us. We're so sorry to interrupt you. We really thought that no one was singing. Very odd, we thought. So glad you let me know. And I'm sorry I won't be able to hear testimonies, but why don't you do it without us and we can listen to the recording, but perhaps you've all got something to share. I do have something to share, but I'll let anyone and everyone go first and then go after that.
Brother Dick, this is Dixie. I walked away from the phone earlier and I just heard you mention my name and something about Alabama. Would you like to repeat that question?
Oh, yes, I was asking if you resided in Alabama, and of course you were away from the mic, so I didn't get an answer.
No, it was my dad that was born in Alabama, but I live in Missouri, right okay. In the heart of the nation.
Dixie was a song that they used to sing in the South. Oh, I wish I were in the land of Dixie. Maybe you've heard it. And I just wondered if you happened to have come from that area.
Yeah.
Missouri, you're just north of me then.
Yeah, in the Kansas City area.
Quite a bit north.
Mm-hmm. So what had you been talking about?
If you've been gone for a little spell, James has been, we were singing a song and James kept doubling with us. I finally texted him, asked him if he was not hearing anything, and he said no. That's what we were talking back and forth, and Rose tried, and he couldn't hear her. He can see our little box light up and our mic disappear, but he's has a glitch in his system, and he's not getting any audio.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, you're welcome. God was good to us this week. My brother and I made two trips to Mena and back. Unfortunately, the second one was not as productive as we had hoped. But we got our computers to the doctor and got them back, and they're in better shape than they were. And we didn't hit any deer. There's a lot of deer laying along the highways that people hit. And anybody that hits a deer gets their car damaged. And I pray every time we get on the road, Lord, please keep your deer off the road. And I'm pleased that he has done so.
Amen. Traveling mercies.
Are you hearing us now?
Oh, I love technology. What happened was, well, I don't know what happened, but we've been, as you know, watching the TV screen, Dick, you know, the one I showed you before we started. And just decided we could hear you fine when we started. I could hear Brother Bob. It was great. It was nice and loud. But just decided... just at the end of the sermon, I don't know if it's got anything to do with the share screen with Rose. I don't know how that could work, but it just totally cut it off. So I'll bear that in mind. Never do that again. Unless otherwise instructed.
Well, what you may not have heard is I said to everybody that can hear, guess what? James gets to sing the closing hymn today. It looks like I got to do it anyway.
I'm glad to hear your computers were hospitalized and recovered. That's good to hear, bro, and especially travel mercies. I think you come across deer like we come across kangaroos on the on the road. It's so sad to see death when you see it and smell it. I just got a text. This is a testimony on the fly. Someone just sent me, and it's a lady that gave me a $100 donation August 9. I know that because I was looking at the record. And her name's Kitty, and she's responded to a text because her husband, Sarafarko, rang me and he left a voice message. And she says, blessed morning, my brother. How are you, man of God? Man of God. Yes, I'm still reading the book. That's the question. Are you reading The Great Controversy? Did you come to World Prayer in Perth? Okay, there must have been a special day. World Prayer in Perth. Okay, that'll be reply. That's interesting. But the actual other testimony, praise the Lord, she's reading Great Controversy, is I got this. Thank you. Now, that's a rare thing. Can you see it? Thank you. And what does it say? It says, Dear Brother James, written on the 13th of August, 2023. She says, I received two booklets yesterday. I read God's True Church immediately. It gave me much food for thought. Thank you. It was my favorite of the two booklets. So what was the other one I gave her? I am halfway through Abomination of Desolation Stands booklet. I am learning a lot from it. Praise the Lord. That was the intention. May God bless you and keep you. It is great to see young people enthusiastic for the things of the Lord. May God bless and keep you always. Yours in Christ, Sister Shirley. And of course, she's an SDA since 2014, and she specifically mentioned in passing, she said, James, she's talking about different groups that split up within the SDA church. She said, James, it's really the Sabbath that keeps me. You know, like, I don't go to church, I can't drive, I can't hear well. She doesn't get on the phone, you know. She's in her 80s. And she said, I'll never forget her saying that. I thought, if I could just tell Percy that that very church that she's a part of has actually adopted Sunday as well. True, not worldwide, but it started in a little area. And, of course, apostasy in other areas. And hopefully she'll end up saying, both of my favorite. So thank you for keeping her in prayer and the evangelistic outreach. I'm so glad I can hear you all. It's good to be back in the sound world. Well, I'm sorry to mess up that song. I almost feel like putting it up again and hearing you all sing it again. Do you think anyone will be up for that? We'd like to hear you all sing. We won't sing because it seemed we had all six verses.
Lift up the trumpet and loud let it ring. Jesus is coming again. Cheer up, ye pilgrims, be joyful and sing. Jesus is coming again. Coming again, coming again. Jesus is coming again. Don't make me sing all of it. Come on, Lynn. Joan, chime in, please.
Echo with your clouds, proclaim it, ye plains. Jesus is coming again. Coming in glory, the Lamb that was slain. Jesus is coming again. Coming again, my Lord is coming again. Jesus is coming again.
Sound it, old ocean, in each might. In each mighty wave, Jesus is coming again. Break on the sands of the shores that ye lay. Jesus is coming again. Coming again, coming again. Jesus is coming again.
Heavings of earth tell the vast wandering throng, Jesus is coming again. Tempests and whirlwinds the anthem prolong, Jesus is coming again. Coming again, coming again. Jesus is coming again. Ramita, sing us the verse.
Was that Demir's?
I said, Anita, sing us a verse, and all of a sudden I look up here and I see they're gone. Oh well. Theresia, it's your turn. I got a lot of cooperation tonight.
I will do one before I leave. Nations are angry, but this we do know. Jesus is coming again. Knowledge increases, men run through and fro. Jesus is coming again, coming again, coming again. Jesus is coming again. Sorry, Brother James, for your sound. Forgive us.
Sirisha, are you there? Come sing the last verse. Glorious angel is lighting the world. Jesus is coming again. God's Sabbath rest is the banner unfurled. Jesus is coming again. Coming again. Coming again. Jesus is coming again. Well, Joan, I see your face. Is your voice not with us today?
My voice is doing tricks of its own.
I
but I enjoyed all the singing.
Okay.
Amen. Oh, thank you for doing that. Appreciate it. We get twice the dose. Well, some of you have twice the dose. Certainly needed in this dark world. Well, are there any last thoughts, any last things anyone wants to share before we have a word of prayer? Please share. Share away. Well, Good to see you, Sister Joan, Brother Josh, Sister Rose, she's just left, and of course, Brother Dick. Why don't we have a word of prayer? And as the brother put in the room, let's keep this important meeting in prayer that's taking place American time, tomorrow for you with a Sabbath-keeping church. Let's have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, thank you so much for the opportunity to spend time with brothers and sisters and to converse and to sing and to testify and to have much more to look forward to. The more light shines upon our pathway unto the perfect day. God, especially prepare the ways for souls that they might see the beauty of the truth, because though new doesn't mean it's not true, but scripture upon scripture, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, it might not be their snare because of misinterpretation, but the blessing you intended scripture to bring. They might have life spiritually as well and have it more abundantly. Please continue to prepare hearts to receive words of life. They are beautiful, they are life-giving, and they are help in every way. The book, the Bible, is made for us to know, the manual. Book instruction before leaving earth so that we can continue to live forever with you. And we thank you for the travel mercies, especially that Brother Dick and dear Brother John experienced, and all of us, we probably all, even walking, simple thing as walking, the safety in traveling to and fro. Thank you that it's our privilege to age gracefully, not by ourselves, not separately, but with Christ, hid in him. Help us remember that, not just remember, but be sure and diligent about the foundation that we're building on, so that it can't be swept away, and that the structure is of such that deception can be perceived quickly, and opportunities taken up instantly to shed abroad the light that's come to us, the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for making our salvation possible. And bless our brothers and sisters to get all the rest that they need, and that our thoughts would all be attuned with thy Holy Spirit, connecting us as brothers and sisters in the faith and with heaven. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you once again, brethren and sisters. It's been a real privilege to be with you all. And Brother Dick, were you serious? Did you want me to sing for you? Lucy just reminding me. Can you sing? Are you happy to sing?
I think you heard me sing just a minute ago.
That other song
was more within my range, but anyway. Keep looking up, thy God is still the same today. Keep looking up, he will not fail thee, come what may. Keep looking up, the darkest cloud will roll away. So do not doubt, but keep